Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
At our vision, and we're going to get started. Let's look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, some of us are going through some things. Anybody going through anything? Here's what I want you to understand. No matter what you're going through, no matter how great it is, no matter how great your problem is, no matter how great your adversity is, no matter how great your trouble is, no matter how great any difficulty you're facing right now is, the greater one is in you. It says in 1 John 4:4, if you are God's child, if you're a believer, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. Everybody say greater.
Greater.
Greater. He's greater. Doesn't matter how great it is over here, but He's greater in here. Amen? And that's where we need it. Amen? He's the greater one in you. And I'm going to tell you what. You and Him can handle anything in this world. Anything. There's nothing that you and Him cannot handle. Nothing. And that's what we need to understand. So we're working on that. Amen? Okay, so let's look at this. Let's go to our... Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We've been looking at this verse because God is committed. And God wants you and I to be committed. God is committed to you. He's committed to you. He's committed to fix what He didn't break. What you have broke in life, we're all broken. What you have broke, what life has broken, what the devil has broken, God is committed to fix what He didn't break. Are you catching that? He's committed to fix. I had somebody in here, they were saying they went through something, and they abandoned church for a while. Went through a lot of major difficulties. They're glad they're back in church. Last service, they're glad they're back in church. That's because God's committed, see? He's committed to you to fix what He didn't break. That's huge right there. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. The gospel means too good to be true news. God's out to fix it in your life. You see that? What Adam messed up in the first garden, Jesus fixed in the second garden, the last garden. You see that? Adam messed it up by eating from the tree. Jesus fixed it up by hanging on a tree. Are you catching this? That's the way it is. God is committed to you and to me. And when we're committed, things change in our lives. For the good, because all He's up to is good. Everybody say, God is good. Let's read this verse together. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You, Lord, that You are committed, and You're committed to every one of us, and You long for the best and to see the best. You said that You desire truth in our most inward parts, and You will make us to know wisdom. Thank You, Lord, for Your promise. And thank You for what You're doing in our hearts today. And Lord, we lift up those people in Texas right now. All those children and their parents, Lord, we don't understand some things, but Lord, we know that you're going to even bring good out of that, Lord. We believe that and we trust you, Lord. And Lord, we believe that those people that they haven't called on your name, they're going to call on your name. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring comfort in areas of their life that only you can bring, Lord. We pray for that in the name. We pray for salvation there in Texas, in Jesus' name. We believe those young children went on and they're with you, Lord. Because you tell us in Matthew 18 and 19, the children are going to come with you and they're going to be with you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we ask that you continue to speak to us and give us revelation knowledge and increase our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. So we've been looking at this word commit since January, right? You always want to see things change, but we're working on this commitment. Amen? Did you guys see the blended family thing we're doing? So if you're here and you have a blended family, I think you're going to get something out of that. Miss Lynn York is helping us out with that. She's got a vision for that. That's a healthy thing, right? I'm going to tell you what. God can make a blended family like it's not even a blended family. You understand what I'm saying? If you get a hold of him and you get committed, it'll be like it's just all the real deal from the get-go. No matter what. Am I making sense? Okay, so we've been looking at commitment. Remember the word commit is the word Golgotha in Hebrew. Golgotha. Golgotha is the hill that Jesus was crucified on. And so, and theologians and commentary I've read and studied, they believe that Golgotha, in there, Goliath's head was buried in that hill. When David defeated Goliath and he cut off his head, remember that was part of the deal. You cut off his head, you get all this reward. And David cut off his head and he took the head and he showed it to Israel. He says, if you want to be successful, this is how you get ahead. No, he didn't. But if that was me, that's how I would have said it. But anyways, so Golgotha, the head of Goliath, is supposedly buried in Golgotha's hill, the hill Christ was crucified on. And you see, that's significant because it means the place of the skull. So this is where our biggest battle is in the place of our skull, right? Our minds. And so that's why it's so important that we renew our mind. If you're not renewing your mind and continually, you're going to be pairing up with thoughts that aren't from God. And pairing up with thoughts that aren't from God, you know what that produces? Paranoia. Paranoia is anxiety and worry and fear and doubt and insecurity. But you see, when you get God's thoughts, it brings peace. It brings security. See that? And that's why it's so important. And that's where the battle is won, right here in your thinking. And so it's going to take commitment. If you're going to have a sound mind and a saved mind, it's going to take you being committed in your faith with God. So now this word commit means Golgotha, but it also means to roll away. In other words, it's taken from when camels would be on a journey. Camels would get down on, their water supply would deplete, and they could hold like 12 to 14 gallons of water in those humps on their back. But after so long, that depletes, and they would get wore out, and they would go down on their knees, and they would roll their burden, their gear, all their was on their back. They would roll it off and be refreshed with water and be restored, so to be refreshed for the journey, to continue the journey. But now what happens, they get down on their knees to roll it off. So here's what we do. get down on our knees before we go into our, and the people on the journey would say the camel's being committed. He's rolling off the burden. We're not designed to carry burdens. So we roll our burden off before we go to work. You see that? And when you roll it off before you go to work, you don't carry it into work. See, you trust God with it. And here's the idea. When you roll your burden off before you go to work, before you go into your day, now when you go into work, you're not carrying the burden. But here's what happens. When you don't roll it away, the enemy will have somebody there to minister to your burden. You see that? He'll have somebody working right beside you to assist you with your burden and even talk to your burden and help you with your burden and make it worse and worse and worse. But you see, if you've already rolled it off and you don't have it, you've given it to God, that's not possible. You hear me? That's why it says this. Now listen, this is significant. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit. There's the word commit again. Commit your works to the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. Remember, when your works are committed to the Lord, now you're trusting him. Now I'm going to go in, I'm going to do my job for the Lord, not for anybody there. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm committed. Commit your works. That's what your this is the works that you were created for. Ephesians 2:10 says you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is the works you're created for. When you commit your works to the Lord and you're there to serve God, you see, you serve God when you serve people. You go and you're serving people, even the cantankerous ones and the mean-spirited ones and the ones who are frustrated all the time. You're supposed to be serving them. When you do that, he establishes your thoughts. That word established means fixed and prepared. It's like the concrete. When the concrete's fixed, you can back a Mack truck up on it, and it won't leave tire marks. It won't leave an impression. See that? When your thoughts are fixed and established, you go to work, they can't leave a negative impression on you. Did you get that? That's worth everything you came here for. Because when you understand that, that stuff's not going to, you're not going to bring that home to the dinner table or to your family or to your marriage. You know what? You can get stuff at work that destroys your marriage. You see that? When you're not committed, you'll end up taking on things that can infect and destroy your marriage or your family. Maybe you're single. It'll cause you to end up doing things you have no business getting involved in. Am I making sense? All right. Commit your works to the Lord and establish your thoughts. Now look at this. Trust also in him. Trust. Remember, trust is a big deal. The word trust means careless. So when I'm trusting, I can be careless. You know what? You make people nervous when you're careless. You see that? When you're careless, you make people uncomfortable. When you go to work and you're not complaining about the gas prices, you're not complaining about inflation and groceries and the government, and you're not complaining, you're all got a scowl, but you're free. You're careless. Because you've cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. The word careless means anxiety. It means to worry. Careless. You don't have the anxiety and the worry because you've casted it on him. You see that? And so now you're not whining and complaining about gas prices. I went and filled up my tank the other day. I think it was $78. I started laughing. This is a joke. And I started laughing, and the guy was watching me at the pump, and I started laughing. He was looking at me like I was a half, you know, a little cray-cray. But you know what? I didn't care. I'm not going to let that get on me. I'm not going to let that get on me. Donita was putting gas in hers, and what'd you say? Stop it! The price, huh? You said, oh yeah, it got so high, she said, that's enough, that's enough. She turned it off. She wasn't mad. She just said, that's enough. so high, she said, forget about it. And she came home and told me, we laughed about it. You see that? That's how you ought to, that's the way you need to look at it. Yeah, rejoice about it. God will provide for you. If your trust is in him, he's bound to provide for you. He provides. You see that? His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He provides all you need in Christ. Are you with me? Everything you need, he'll make sure you're provided for. Now, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What's he going to bring it to pass? The difficulty, the problem you've been carrying or trying to face. He can bring it to pass. No matter what you're facing, he can bring it to pass. So, this is what we've been talking about. Let's go to Galatians 5, 19. We've been looking at the flesh and how the flesh functions and operates, and committed people want to know. If you're committed, you're going to want to know how this thing works, because you want to understand and get this thing working. So when you understand the flesh, you can make provisions and adjustments to keep the flesh off your back and get to God's will. See that? Because when you're in the flesh, you're not in God's will. The flesh cannot do God's will. The flesh doesn't produce anything good. Flesh, Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. I looked that up in the Greek. Nothing, and it means no thing. Nothing. So it cannot profit anything. The word profit means what's left after the exchange. So anytime you're in the flesh, there's nothing of anything, any value left after your exchange. You got the flesh, that's what you got. And usually it's a heartache. Now watch this. So it says, the works of the flesh are evident. This word works is the word ergos, and it means some kind of action, deed, or activity. And it refers to a person's occupation, to a person's labor, and to a or something they produce. And it also it describes a person's line of work, his career, and his profession. Works. When I look at that, Paul says the works of the flesh. Now think about that. So the flesh will occupy your life. It'll go to work. See that? On something that you don't want in life. It will go to work and move you away from God. It will occupy. It will labor. It will employ. Now listen. The flesh cannot profit anything. Pay attention. The word flesh is the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. It means sinful impulses, carnal cravings. Paul uses the phrase the works of the flesh. Remember, we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those good works aren't in this bunch. They're not in the works of the flesh. We've been created for good works. Now watch. But Paul uses the phrase the works of the flesh to give the idea that the flesh has its own mind and desires. If as believers we don't crucify the flesh and keep it under control, it will eventually manifest those evil desires. In other words, the flesh will go to work. It will go to work. The word manifest or evident means manifest, means to bring from the invisible to the visible. So in other words, if you don't pay attention to this flesh, it will bring things to show up in your life. You think you're hiding it, it's going to show up, manifest. Am I making sense? It will become visible in your life. It becomes apparent to become seen or to be well known, and it will become conspicuous. If you don't stop the activity, its activity, it will lead you to places you don't want to go. It will lead you into adultery, fornication. Now, adultery and fornication. This is why this is so important. These come from the word, the Greek word porneia. Porneia, and this is where we get the word pornography. But now look, this is where the word prostitution comes from. So when you're having sex outside of marriage, adultery, fornication, pornography is a mental prostitution. You know, I told him last service, I would be willing to lay my life on it, or I'm not a betting man, but that young man that went in that school, that he had a background of pornography. They'll study his background. I believe I would be willing to lay my life on it. Pornography will destroy you. It destroys your vision. It brings prostitution. When anyone has sex outside of marriage, God sees it as prostitution. You see that? This is what you and I want to learn. We want to learn to see things the way God sees it. And that's why this is so important to talk about. Because when we see it the way God sees it, we're not going to get involved in it. We're going to treat it like something. This is like poison or cancer. You see that? When you don't understand this, and you just continually do this, and you don't keep doing anything about it, it's going to affect your life in a negative way. See, prostitution is what he's saying. When you're having sex outside of marriage, you're prostituting yourself. That's the way God sees it. See, that's what vision is. God's trying to get you to see things the way he sees it. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. There's no restraints. But where there is vision, it brings restraints. You see, we need restraints to harness this flesh in our life. And that's what God's vision does. That's what the word vision means, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. God's showing you, as he speaks his word over you, he's showing you these areas of your life that he's trying to redeem. He wants you to see his way. When you see it his way, now he can bring provision. God always provides for his vision. You see that? Provision. He can't bring the provision in your life if you don't see it his way. He wants to provide relationships for you. He wants to provide finances for you. He wants to provide health for you. If you see it his way, that's what begins to take place. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Without vision, you're doing it your way. And you're bringing the problem in. You're magnifying the problem. That's why he wants you to see it his way. You know, I had someone say, you mean my friend is a prostitute because she, well, I'm not saying they're a prostitute. God sees it that way. You see that? And really, it is what it is. Am I making sense? A lot of times they're prostituting their own emotions, or they're prostituting because of a father abandonment, or something has affected them in a traumatic way. So that is not important, and they're trying to get an emotional or a connection somewhere, but it'll never work until they see it God's way. When you see it God's way, now things begin to work and connect. You glad you came to church today? This is significant. Now think about this. So adultery and fornication, and then uncleanness is another. Remember we talked about the demoniac in Mark chapter 5 was cutting himself outside the graveyard. And then when Jesus walked up, the demons said, why are you tormenting us? The demons are tormented When you are in the, under the authority of God and in the presence of God, demons are tormented. When you show up in the room, demons are tormented. I have seen that. I have seen that. I've tasted that. It's not because I'm anything, it's because the greater one's in me. And when that shows up and it's in tune with God, demons tremble. People get uncomfortable. People look at you like they hate you. They don't even know you, but you're getting all red-faced. And they don't even like you because you're carrying something. You're tormenting them, and it's really the Christ in you. And then he cast them out. Then they found him outside of the city in his right mind. And then all the people that knew he was crazy, they were afraid of him more in his right mind than they were when he was crazy. They said they were afraid. He's in his right mind and clothed, and he's looking good. Now they're scared to death. You know what? You make people nervous when you become who you are. Am I making sense? Uncleanness. That's what happens when you just let your flesh go and you just entertain all these things. You open yourself to all that, and it comes in. Let's look at this word lewdness. The word lewdness, it literally means no restraints. No restraints. It's the Greek word aselgeia. It means an excess, excessive consumption of food, drink, and undisciplined living, especially unbridled sex. That's what lewdness means. So it will produce nothing but wrong in your life. And it will rob you. See, this is how the devil works. He tries to keep you ignorant of what this is saying. And he'll take from you as you're participating in lewdness. You see that? Unbridled. There's no control. Self-control. You just keep increasing. You know, I told you about go get an ice cream cone. I remember when I was single, I go visit my mom, and she stayed at Bethany Village in Centerville, and I'd go visit her, and on the way home, I'd get me an ice cream cone at McDonald's. I always liked those. Well, you know, I was single. I keep saying that. Nothing wrong with being single. So if you're here and you're single, you don't need 5 ice cream cones. No. But, so I was on my way home, and I got me an ice cream cone. But I was having an emotional deal going on. Kind of. So I got me an ice cream cone in Kettering. And then I got to Vandalia. Got done eating that one. And then I said, I'm going to get me another one. I got me another one. I was having so much fun. I said, well. Ooh. Then by the time I got to Tip City, it was gone. I got me another one, 3 of them. Then I caught myself, man, I'm having me an affair with this ice cream cone. That's lewdness. That's a type of lewdness. No restraints. You see that? And see, this is what happens in all areas of our life. We're not aware of this.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.